welcome to Connections Podcast here on December 6th, 2014. Thank you for joining me this morning. We're going to talk about the power of choice. And the way I feel about choice is I believe it's the greatest power that our Creator has given us as people to use to affect, obviously, not only our own lives, but to affect the lives of others. And I want to share some angles with you this morning in a way to possibly better understand this incredible power that we've been endowed with, which is called free agency, or the power of choice. Let me first start off and focus your attention on this lecture is towards adults, so 18 years and older. Although children, obviously, from the time they're born till they become adults, are also engaged with this gift of agency. Yet they don't have the same competency or culpability that an adult has when it comes to choice and consequence, or choice and outcomes. And I'm going to use those two words, intermingle with those two words, consequence and outcomes, which actually mean the same thing. However, for many of us, consequence sounds really negative, and outcome usually is rather neutral, but those two words have the same meaning to me, consequence and outcome. So when a child chooses, it doesn't have the same weight that as when an adult chooses. So while children may not have the same types of outcomes connected to their choices as adults do, it is still an absolute necessity that children are taught the power of choice, and that when they choose, that consequence or outcomes always follow. That is something that has been with mankind since the beginning of mankind, which is when people make choices, there will always be an outcome that will follow that will be consistent with the vibrational choice that they've made. So children must learn about this power of choice that's been given to them through their opportunity to choose. And then they get to experience the consequence or the outcomes that will teach them important and valuable lessons about life, people, and the power that they possess to choose. It'll teach them about their relationships. And most importantly, it'll teach them about themselves if they will pay attention to this very beautiful gift that they've been given. So every time they choose, that they recognize that an outcome will follow. It will immediately follow. And I want to talk about several different kinds of outcomes. So when we make choices, the first outcome that happens is there's an emotional outcome. And then oftentimes a physiological outcome. You know, there's always a physiological outcome. However, we may not be sensitive to such a degree that we recognize it. However, it does happen. And then there's these more tangible outcomes, like I make a choice and then I see something outside myself change. I say something to someone and I see their face grimace, or I see their face smile, or I make a comment and they respond to what I'm saying or what I'm doing. So choice always has consequences and will always bring emotional consequences to any relationship, whether it's make a choice for myself or make a choice that affects another person. So this power of choice is possibly, and I would say absolutely, I mean, I said the word possibly, but I would say absolutely the most powerful gift we've all been given. Our ability to exercise our free will, free choice, it empowers us to decipher meaning and create interpretation of our world. Our meanings and our interpretations in turn create our thoughts, our feelings, and ultimately our behaviors and responses to our lives. Choice is free. We are all endowed with it. And choice is a constant opportunity that we all partake of. In fact, it is impossible to not choose. Some people will say, well, I'm just not going to choose. And it's like, well, your choice to not choose is a choice, and it will come with outcomes. It's impossible to just not intermingle with this power of choice. So what a blessing I feel. What a blessing it is to know that we can construct personal meaning around anything we encounter, anything we think, believe, react to, feel, experience, with our five senses. So what a gift. What a gift the power of choice is. And what I would say is that choice, the ability to choose, has the power to free you. Has the power to free you. So I want you to think about that. Choice is freedom. So we're going to come back to why choice has the power to free you, or it has the power to enslave you, depending on how you use it. So, however, because choice has spiritual clout or weight, it's imperative that when we choose, we are awake and aware and conscientious of choice's power, its forcefulness, and the efficacy of the consequences that will always follow in its wake. So we engage in the act of choice hundreds, I would also say thousands of times a day. We choose to think certain ways, react to certain things, believe in particular ways. We choose to feel particular emotions and reinforce those emotions or not. We choose to respond to specific experiences. We have free agency around our perceptions of particular angles, behave in specific behaviors. We use our power of choice to define the world in a very concrete or an abstract manner. So I just want to make a note right here. Those of us who are want to be awake and aware of this power, we are not responsible for the choices that someone else makes. We're not responsible for the choices that someone might impose on us. Like somebody makes a choice and it affects us. And so we're not responsible for their choice, but we are responsible for how we respond, like how we choose to respond to them. We are not accountable for others' choices to harm, abuse, neglect, manipulate, traumatize, injure another person, themselves in some way. Yet we are responsible, again, once we receive accurate and appropriate support and assistance, to choose to reframe those experiences and work on choosing to forgive that person. This will free ourselves from the snare of, the snare, or another way to say that is this distorted angle that someone has the power to do something to us. So people will say, well, someone did something to me and I was harmed and I can't forgive them. Or they hurt me and I was ultimately damaged, or because of what happened, I'm not responsible for any of my choices going forward in life. Or because of you, I get to. And none of these statements are accurate. Choice can and must be used to extricate oneself from the chains of this victim mentality and the endless shame messages that the victim spot will speak. And if you stay in victim, it will render you helpless to its distortions, its deception and its lies. And so, choice, when we were talking about choice is freedom, choice has the power, if you are willing to acknowledge it and accept it, choice has the power when you are being influenced by something or someone else's choices to free you, because you can choose to hold it any way you want, any way you want. So, for example, kind of a fluky thing. I woke up this morning to interact with someone on Skype, and the electricity was out. And I'm like, "What in the world?" I mean, I'm decades old, and that has never happened. And I woke up about 4:45 in the morning, and all of a sudden, the electricity, there was a few little lights on in my room and the fan was running. And all of a sudden my ceiling fan just slowed down. And I just heard the electricity kick off. And I thought, how weird. Did electricity just turn off? And so I, was there awake in the room, and I was thinking and just pondering about things, kind of waiting for the electricity to kick back on, because that's an odd thing. I could see it happening like in a snowstorm or some kind of disaster going on outside, but it's a beautiful day. I could, this I could hear, some birds chirping and things, and lay there and for an hour, and the electricity never kicked on. And so I'm sitting there thinking, uh-oh, I have a session I need to do with somebody, and what am I going to do? And so I started, well, I didn't start, but I was continuing to choose. I thought, okay, I want to be sensitive of this person's time. And this person is in a different country. And so it wasn't like I could just, run down the street, or I could, call her on the phone. And so I thought, okay, what am I going to do? And so I was exercising the power of choice. And I remember feeling like, oh, this is not fair, and how weird and strange. And I could feel the pull of shame. Shame was coming in saying, get upset and be annoyed and feel disempowered. And, where do you live? You don't live in a third world country, and so this shouldn't be happening. All those kind of statements that were just so shame-based. And I heard them come into my mind, and I'm like, no, I'm still going to make this a really positive experience. And so, as I was using my free agency, I gathered information of how to get a hold of this person. And because my internet is down, I only have internet on my phone. And so I figured out, I got some help from somebody that knows how to, is more skilled at maneuvering around these kind of situations, and asked him for some help. And he's like, yeah, we could text her and let her know what's going on. And so I kept choosing to be responsible, choosing to not allow this to dampen my day, or feel like I was ignoring this person. And so I shot her a text and told her what was going on. As of this point, I haven't heard back from her, so hopefully she received it. If not, then I'll contact her when the electricity goes back on. But my point is that I woke up to something that I was not prepared to interface with. And so I was given the opportunity to make choices. And I want to use my choice to angle it in a position of peace, of joy, of love, of problem solving, of being responsible. I want to use choice to choose emotional honesty and to connect with other people. And so, choice is, like I said, it's constant. You can't not choose. I could have woken up this morning and thought, oh, what a lousy day. My goodness, what a weird thing that just happened. But instead, I'm glad that I know these principles, that I can use it in such a way to keep myself centered. So the power of choice is its ability to create spiritual, emotional, and physical outcomes, connected to the caliber or quality of the choices I make. My outcomes depend on the truthfulness of my choices. So that emotional honesty piece, the outcomes or the consequence will depend on the honesty of my choices. So in other words, I need to acknowledge the reality of the situation I'm in. Okay, so I woke up, had no power. This will enable me to discover what's motivating me to choose the way I am, or to choose the way I want to. It is only at this point of consciousness that I can access choices, real live power. If I choose to stay in reality, which was electricity was off and I couldn't get a hold of this person, if I choose to stay in reality by being responsible for my choices, my thoughts, my perceptions, feelings, and their outcomes, and don't blame or go into victim or disconnect in some way for myself or others. So, for example, I get up, no electricity. I don't want to blame the electric company or blame someone. It's just like, oh, well, okay. I guess we'll make decisions from this point on. So if I don't do that and I stay in consciousness, I stay in reality, I will have outcomes and consequences that will follow that truth, that emotional honesty place. If I choose to blame or manipulate or resent or react or have expectations to any degree, then I will have consequences that will follow the antithesis of truth. And those consequences will disempower me and set me up to have more restricted choices, more restricted power to choose next time, because I'll be distorted, I'll be deceived. Although I can choose particular outcomes by making the choices that lead to them, I cannot choose not to have consequences. So regardless of the truthfulness or caliber of my choice, consequence or outcome of some form will always occur, always. So I have free choice around experiences that present themselves. So experience comes, and then I get to choose, but I do not get to choose outcomes. That's not within my purview. Those will just come, and then I choose how I'm going to hold those. So the power of choice is that we cannot control other people's choices, and oftentimes we are limited or have no control over circumstances of life. The power of choice is that regardless of circumstances, we can always choose how we interpret, how we perceive, how we respond, how we think, how we feel and behave, and what we're going to do going forward with choice. So another way to look at choosing is, why is choosing rightly important? You know, rightly, quote unquote. And like, what is rightly, right? Just what is right? And what I would say is, you get to choose what is right for you. When we make choices in the direction of reality, emotional honesty, responsibility, and truth, we're ultimately choosing correct or right for us. Okay? Let me say that again. When we make choices that keep us in our reality, and when I say our reality, I'm talking about the way that you view reality. Not my reality in distortion, but like the facts, like what's really going on. So things that are objective, and I'm hooked into emotional honesty, and I'm being responsible for myself and my choices. So I live in this truth with a capital T. We ultimately choose rightly for ourselves, which creates a pathway of joy and peace. That's the outcomes. If you're having peace and joy, and I'm not talking neurological joy, I'm talking about genuine joy that's consistent and genuine peace. It's not just a chemical reaction to things every once in a while, but that you have a consistent and constant experience of a joyful and peaceful life. It doesn't mean that you don't have hard things go on, but you know how to maneuver through those things. However, because of my choices we have previously made, we might still have difficulty with the consequences that will come. And we will be required, I was going to say invited, but really will be required to go through those consequences. And we may hold them positively, or we might really not hold them very positively. But as we're moving through consequences, we can feel, if we'll choose, we can feel congruent and honest and responsible and at peace within those consequences. If we'll stay aligned with the characteristics of emotional honesty, responsibility, and humility. So just what is right? When someone suggests that you need to choose what is right, according to them, the word right then becomes a battleground for morality or principles. When using the phrase, I am right, the implication is that someone will be wrong, which then becomes a setup for people to feel entitled or to believe that their angle or their point of view is the only right choice and that everyone else must follow them. This is faulty thinking. The ability to choose rightly only relates to the individual that is choosing. Choosing rightly suggests being aligned with your own standards, beliefs, values, morals, etc., and that your choices will not be imposed or intentionally negatively affect other people. So I don't put my right choices, quote unquote, my right choices onto someone else. It suggests that that person is congruent within themselves and with a God or a higher power. So when I choose, I feel congruent within myself and the spiritual path that I'm following. When I live connected to this higher source of power, I will not choose to be negligent with my choice by choosing irresponsibly or manipulatively or selfishly or dishonestly or choose without humility. I will consider others as I choose, and I will be sensitive to their situations and their reality. I can stay united with my truth and still choose to be emotionally present with them. Absolutely. That's a skill that you've got to learn how to do. So I can choose to pay attention to my choices, to recognize how I might affect other people and how others might be perceiving me and my behaviors. And I need to know how I affect them. I need to know that I might provoke or that I might feel provoked, manipulated, wrong, judged, unloved, misunderstood, fearful. And as I recognize my impact or effect on these people, I can validate them and either change my choice or explain why I'm choosing the way I am and take responsibility for the outcomes of my choices. I am then choosing rightly for me, and I am attuned to myself. So the whole point of choosing rightly is knowing what is accurate for you, knowing what you believe, knowing what you value, what you stand for, and living in that emotional truth, living in that reality. That's how you're going to know how to choose right for you. So choice is this gift that we are freely given to use as we see fit. Outcomes, consequences are how we learn about the choices we freely made. To determine whether the choices made were supportive of me moving into emotional health, rigorous accountability, and humility. So no one gets to choose their own consequence. That just doesn't happen. You don't get to make a choice and then choose the consequences. Outcomes will always follow choice. And with every choice comes natural or implied outcomes. However, we do get to choose how we will perceive and respond to every outcome and consequence. When I said outcome and consequence, those are the same thing. So there are natural consequences and there are implied consequences. So natural consequences have been present since the beginning of the human race and will continue as long as the sun rises and sets on this planet. Consequences are not bad entities. Consequences are outcomes that naturally and always follow choice. Many choices create an obvious cause and effect relationship, and most of us accept these outcomes as reasonable. So, for example, if you jump off of a high surface, you will fall because of gravity. If you choose to drive a car in the snow and you speed, you could possibly, spin on the ice and wreck your car. If you choose to eat too many calories, high calorie foods, high fats, lots of carbohydrates, you will most likely gain weight and become physically unhealthy. If you choose to stay up and receive 1 or 2 hours of sleep in the evening and you do that on a consistent basis, you will be tired the next day. So these are scenarios that include choice, your free agency, and the consequences that will naturally follow. So why is it that we're so willing, usually, to accept these types of natural consequences, but when it comes to other consequences that don't have a natural component to them, we act oftentimes adversely to them? We sometimes act shocked that a consequence is even happening. It's like, whoa, I want to choose this and I don't want anything to come that's not pleasant for me. So like, I'm surprised that my choice has created this. So implied consequences are things that, I may not see coming. So, or they might be consequences that someone else gives me. Like if I come home late, say I'm a teenager, I come home late and there are consequences for my coming home late. However, the only consequence I see is that I get grounded from my parents or something. Or I choose to steal from a store and I feel like I'm being consequenced by the store owner because now I was caught and I have to repay the things I stole and now I have to go and talk to the judge and I feel like I'm being punished because of what they're doing. Those are kind of implied consequences. And the truth is that, every time I choose, there is an outcome, every single time. So there's an experience Either I create the experience or the experience presents itself to me, and then I choose. And after I choose, there will come an outcome. There's an emotional outcome, there's a physiological outcome, there's a spiritual outcome. And then I get to choose again to either own that outcome or to not own that outcome. So I either get to acknowledge it and be responsible for it, or I get to blame, I get to go into victim, I get to deny, I get to deceive, I get to perceive inaccurately, which will lead to more shame messages. If you don't know what shame is, it's kind of a first time I brought that word into this lecture. We have several podcasts that talk about shame and faulty core beliefs. So I encourage you to go listen to those so you'll understand them. And when I choose to not take responsibility for my choices and my outcomes, I will go into shame. And then I get to continue to choose to either stay in shame or I get to choose to shift out of shame. If I choose to reframe what's going on, then I will get into a place where I'm being honest, emotionally honest. And the caliber of my choices and the vibrational energy around the outcomes will shift dramatically. And it happens within a millisecond. You know, there's just all these choices that we get to make. So, speaking of shame, let me just touch on this a little bit. When I make choices, I will either go into one of two experiences. I will either go into shame, or I will feel responsible. Now, if I've done something that needs to be cleaned up, then I will feel remorse. If I go into responsibility, I will feel remorse for the things that I've done that I need to clean up. If I choose and I have an outcome that I don't want to be responsible for, I will go into shame quite naturally. So I either go into guilt and feel remorse and regret and want to make restitution, or I will feel shame. So remorse motivates me to feel guilt. And you know, some people think guilt is like a bad thing. It's actually not. It's a motivator. It's an instigator for change, to be emotionally and spiritually honest. And it helps me also be emotionally and spiritually mature. When we make choices that violate our moral or ethical code, it's appropriate to experience feelings of remorse and regret as an attempt to correct our choices, or spiritually speaking, to repent towards ourselves and towards others, and thus make right what we did wrong towards ourselves or someone else. Guilt is a motivator towards freedom from deception and fear and shame. There's that word freedom. So when I do something that I view as inappropriate and I am responsible for it, and I take responsibility for it, it will free me from shame. It will free me from fear and deception. Guilt connects us with our choices that were not appropriate, that were not honest towards ourselves and others, and gives us an opportunity for change. That's awesome. It's like sweet. Shame, conversely, motivates us to blame, check out of reality, disconnect, go into self-assault and drama. It supports us to resent ourselves and other people. It tells us to attack and not be accountable for the things that we've chosen. Shame wants us to be stuck in victim and self-loathing and self-aggrandizement. Feelings of shame are created when we are not, or we choose not to, accept the choices we've made or the consequences that follow our choices. We may want to make right the choices we choose, yet we won't choose to be completely honest or responsible for myself or for the outcomes of choices that I've just created. So if I'm not willing to do that, the outcome will be shame. Shame will not allow a soul to feel peace, pure happiness, or joy, because it gives the person permission, quote unquote, to check out of reality and focus on the illusion shame has presented to them. And then they feel like they can escape the accountability, which is I want to say funny, but it's more than funny. It's more serious than funny. It's disturbing that shame has such a power to, quote unquote, make a person believe that they can eclipse the outcomes from their choices, and they absolutely cannot. They cannot get out of outcomes. They will follow them the rest of their life. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, And this person has been living in addiction for years, 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 years. And they want to get into recovery. They want to be sober. And we were talking about how they can do this. And I said to them, you've got to go back and clean up your choices. You've got to go back and clean up, the things that you've done, the people you've injured. And they're like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to start today. And I want to say, I recognize I've hurt people, but I don't want to go back there. I don't think it's a good place to go back to because that's just where all the pain is and all the hurt. And I want to start today and move forward. And it's like, you know what? Awesome. I want to start today and move forward as well with you. And at the same time, those choices and outcomes are actually inside your system. And you cannot, no matter how much you want to, extricate them from you. You have to go through a process of spiritually speaking, repentance. You have to go back and acknowledge the things that you have done that have hurt yourself and have hurt or inadvertently harmed other people. That must be a part of this process because all of our choices are being logged inside of our system. And if you don't believe that, just look back at your life and notice where you have resentments. Notice where you feel victimized. Notice where, things keep plaguing you or keep coming up. 10 years ago, you can't stop thinking about, how your spouse, did you wrong or cheated you or abused you or abandoned you or, in childhood. I mean, these memories keep coming up because they are stuck or caught inside you. And so, I don't know how convinced this person was. They're still thinking about it. They're still using their power of choice to think about it. However, that is the only way to help somebody really flush themselves out and get clear inside them, their system, is to go back and take accountability for the different choices that they've made. And it's not just behavioral choices. It's how they've chosen to perceive experiences. I'm very aware that there are many, many, many people who have been abused and neglected and harmed by other people that had nothing to do with them and their choices. And here's the freedom piece right here. You ready? The way to free themselves from those so destructive choices of other people is to learn to perceive what happened to them in the reality, which was they were not responsible. They were this soul that crossed paths with someone who was out of control, who was using their free agency in a way to behave irresponsibly and abusively. And this person gets to then perceive that accurately because a lot of times when people are being abused, whether they're children or adults, they use their free agency to perceive that it was their fault, or somehow they caused this, or somehow they should have stopped it. And the reality is, most of the time, they had no ability to do that. So I want to share something. There is a woman who I have spent a lot of time listening to and really enjoy her angles on life. Her name is Carolyn Mace. And she talks about three different caliber of choices. There's choices. There's like three different levels to choices. She calls the bottom level toilet water choices. So these are just kind of good choices that you make. They could be motivated by fear and concern about what others may think of you. They don't really have an understanding. Like the person doesn't really have an understanding of why they're choosing the way they are. Only that they're afraid to not choose the particular choice. Emotional and spiritual immaturity are driving these kind of choices, and they're motivated by external forces such as their own internalized fear and shame, or the fear of what others or what their spiritual path or God might think of them or say about them. So another way to look at toilet water choices is that there's strings attached to each of their choice because they want something from someone. So they're good choices. However, they're not the highest caliber of choice. Then she talks about cologne choices, which are better choices than toilet water choices. And these kind of choices are motivated by an obligation. So the first one's motivated by fear, and concern about what others will think of you. The second choice is motivated by an obligation to choose correctly because you want something. You want to be blessed or to get things from others or God or a higher power. You want to be seen in a particular light or have a particular image. You're being driven by a sense of doing something because it's the right thing to do, and you want to be good and seen as good. So you're being motivated by these external forces and influences. Emotionally and spiritually, you're immature, and you're being driven by your immaturity. You don't act like there are strings attached, but there are strings attached because you want something. You want to have like this obligation. You want to be motivated by this belief that if you'll do this, you'll get something in return. And when you don't get what you think you deserve or what you think you've earned, you become resentful and you act like a victim. So those are your, cologne choices. And then this third level is a perfume choice she talks about. And these definitions are things that I've come up with. She just talks about these three levels of choices. And so the best choice for you is being motivated by a desire to do good and be good, you know, quote unquote good, according to you, because you love yourself and you love God or you love a higher power. You love people. So the first one, toilet water, is being motivated by fear about what people will think of you, just your own internalized fear. The next level, the cologne choice, is being motivated because you want something. And then your third choice, your perfume choice, is you're being motivated by a love for yourself and a love for God. You're driven in this perfume choice by an internal feeling of, I want to serve and I want to love because I feel love and I want to share with others. You're being driven by intrinsic incentives and know that you may not receive anything for it. But that's not motivating you because there's no strings attached. It is this type of love and desire to connect with self, others, and God that drives you. Emotional and spiritual mature people choose like this. So the caliber of our choice can fall into those three categories. And I know they're kind of rough categories, but I want you to look at yourself and say, okay, what's motivating me? Am I motivating because I'm afraid? I just want to be good because I'm afraid? Do I get motivated because I'm going to be blessed? I'm going to get something in return? Or am I motivated because I love myself and I love people and I love God and I love this planet and I love the path that I'm on, the spiritual path that I enjoy, and I want to just give without anything in return coming my direction. I want you to think about, and I'll close on this note, I want you to think about shame and guilt, okay? I've got them on two ends of a spectrum, okay? So you've got a line, and then you have shame on one end, and you have guilt on the other, okay? So guilt is being motivated by this responsible position of I want to take accountability for the choices that I've made, and I want to make right the things that I do that are either inaccurate or have done some kind of damage to myself or someone else. And shame is the antithesis of that. It says I don't want to be responsible. I want to blame someone else. I want someone else to account for what I've done. And then put choice in the middle, kind of like on a little runner, okay? So you have this little scale thing, and it can move back and forth. And every time you make a choice, you enact that power of choice, that little runner in the middle will go one direction or the other. It'll either go towards light, which is towards remorse, or it'll go towards shame, which has a shadow towards it. You know, it goes into more of dark places or hidden places or secretive places. And you, my friend, have the ability to move that thing. You are moving that runner along that line between shame and guilt. And your ability, your intrinsic ability to choose, will animate that runner between those two positions. Isn't that awesome? I love that. And so what an empowering thought that I don't have to go into shame. I just don't. And every time I go in there, it's because I have made choices to angle or perceive things in a way that is not in the reality of what's actually happening. Because sometimes reality is super, super painful. There's pain there. You know, I was very disappointed when I woke up this morning and realized that I wasn't going to be able to show up to my appointment because I show up to the things that I commit to. They're very important for me to follow my commitments. And when I am not able to do that, I feel disappointed, and I feel a sense of a necessity to connect with that person and let them know that something unforeseen came up. But I don't have to go into shame around it. I can go into accountability and responsibility and not make choices that enact shame or guilt and just stay really centered. So I want you to think about that. I want, you know, today, as you're moving through your day, watch your power to animate that choice slider that goes back and forth between shame and guilt, and see where you show up. How many times do you show up in shame? And when you show up in shame and you recognize it, then use your choice to get out, to tell yourself the truth, like, whoops, I just went into the shame position. I just blamed, you know, the electrical company for taking out the whole neighborhood, right? And go, oops, sorry, it's nobody's fault. It's just something that happened. I don't know what happened, but something happened, and I'm not going to blame anyone. And I can move out of shame as quickly as I can move into shame through the power of choice. I love choice. Choice is it's an energy, and it is an intimate, and this is going to sound maybe a little strange to you, but it really feels like an intimate friend to me, this power to choose, because it allows me to have emotions that are so sweet, and so connecting with myself and with God and with other people. And so I'm very grateful that I know about this power, and that I am learning, as you are, how to use it and how to be responsible and respectful of this power of choice. So we'll end there for today, and I want to again thank you for joining me this morning. And as you move forward in your day, pay attention, be conscious of your choices, and choose to stay connected. And we will talk to each other soon.